Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Thank you, Brian Brown, for introducing us yet again to another week of the Brown Briefly at KVSH Radio, where it's Tuesday, October 13th. We know we are still in the year of the tweet, as it is 2020. And we know we still have a global pandemic going on, and we may have fewer screaming crowds than we did before, although now they seem to be screaming at presidential rallies. So maybe we're still on that trend. Hey, as we sit here biting our nails and searching the internet for the latest stress reduction guidance, let me remind you, dear listener, there are only 21 days left before the most important election of most of our lifetimes. All right, so hey, let's get down to business here. And first, I would like to recognize the smoke-piercing vision of Lynn Kerrigan, poet par excellence, relocated from the land of magnolias to the island of Madrones, our analytic academic social worker, backup singer activist, and former all-star shortstop for the Dixie Debutantes. Lynn, I hope you're ready for Vachonites to make us part of their day.
Hey, I'm up and running on a new computer, and I have a question for you, Kevin. When is the last day people can register to vote?
It varies by state.
Is that
I will have to do some research. Maybe some others can do a little internet searching. That's a great question, but I suspect we can still vote.
Yeah, I was just thinking that if you're not registered, register.
Absolutely.
I think Washington State set it up so you can register up to the day of the voting, but I'm not positive. But some states cut it off as much as a month before.
Yeah, I believe you're right, Bruce.
I can look it up myself.
Yeah, that's a good question, Lynn. And now, just so that people are aware, we mentioned last time, but ballots are, almost every state in the nation is voting right now, and ballots should be in your mailbox by October 19th. And if you don't see one in your mailbox, votewa.gov, I believe, is the right place to go.
Okay, I have the information for you.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. True. In 2018, the Washington enacted the same-day voter registration, which means that voters can register in person and cast a ballot through Election Day. You can also register online until October 26th. And if you have moved since the last time you voted, you'll need to update your registration online or in person. So there you go.
Okay. Truman, it is worth
it. Before you cut out of there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Does it say what's required to register? Do you have to have a state ID?
Let's see. You can register, vote, verify your registration, update your address. No. I'll keep looking. I will find out.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, let's get everybody on board here, and then we'll get off to some livening discussion. Let's see. Also, beaming in from another historic Zoom virtual location. With another historic Zoom virtual background image, perhaps from a recent visit to another galaxy, is island historian, storyteller, international educator, and accomplished skipper Bruce Hallman, our stalwart guardian of the galaxy. And Bruce, what virtual Zoom background have you selected for today?
This is what the listeners can't see behind me is a 235-foot four-masted schooner being built by the Martinolick Shipyard. Actually, it was contracted to build three of them. Now, that's over two football fields length. He launched one of them, and then the Norwegian government canceled the contract on him. So he was stuck, had to go into bankruptcy. But actually, the lumberyard that had supplied the lumber came in and rescued him. They finished the boat. So the one behind me is the Ella A. There was another one called the Eleanor H. And then there was the Docton. So those three 235-foot four-masted schooners were built. They were finished and taken up by the lumber company in Hoquiam, Washington, who used them to ship lumber to Australia. So, and we have some great photographs of them actually under sail.
So these are made in Docton? Is that what you're saying?
They were built in Docton.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
So they were built just on the west side of Docton, just south of the plant shed there. Wow. So, not another galaxy, but certainly another time.
Well, thank you for that historical moment in Brown briefly.
And I beg to differ. Maury Island exists in a different galaxy.
It does. In a different time.
That is a whole another discussion.
Named after a slave.
And will when the seas rise.
Yeah.
Boy. Yes, we may need a bridge after all. Hey, let's see. An always welcome sight on our Zoom screens and music to our ears is singer, thespian, philosopher, half a bubble shy of plum carpenter, Michael Shook, a.k.a. Chauncey Gardner. And Michael, are you seeing any hints of the glorious fall colors soon to grace that Japanese maple forest of yours?
Boy, indeed I am. The blood goods seem to be turning first this year. Just a few leaves here and there, but oh my gosh, they're like the sun hits them yesterday. It was like a ruby hanging on the tree there. And some of my other favorites, one that goes pumpkin orange from the outside edges of the leaves and works its way back in, mixing with the green veins. It's just gorgeous. It's just starting to peek out too. So yeah, it's a marvelous time of year.
Michael, we're going to have to add poet to your introduction, I suspect. Hey, here also, speaking of poets, and joining us all month long is island-hopping mystic muse author and wandering poet Gail Kellner. How are you today, Gail?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I rowed ashore yesterday and got my boat up and away from the water. I'm glad to do it. It's a wild and windy day out there.
You know, I just this morning was tripling the lines on Opus, just because. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, and of course, none of us would be here without the mood-modulating synthesizer of voices from the virtual land of Zoom, complete with sound effects, and who needs autopilot airline captain, champion Zoomologist, and steady-handed sound engineer, Truman O'Brien.
Hey, thank you.
I understand you can tell us what's coming up on Moonwalk today.
I can. Somebody is rustling their microphone, so please stop, whoever that is. Let me just read you what Susan wrote for us. She says that in week two of Real Talk's month of exploring the personal side of politics, host Susan McCabe will Zoom interview a panel of three people working with the Seattle King County People Power Accountability Working Group. Are you ready for this? SKCPPPAWG. They include Washington's own Bailey DeLonghi, a Shoreline resident, Eliza Firmaski, Seattle-based political consultant Shannon Chang, Work 2, and among other things, counter the effects of systematic racism in King County and nationwide. This November, King County residents will have the opportunity to affect police accountability by voting on four key charter amendments. This group will explain those amendments and the potential impact of their being adopted or not. So tune in to find out what it means to you. It's sure to be real. So there you go.
Wow, with members of the SKPOG.
SKPOG, there it is.
Maybe, perhaps. Yep. All right, thank you, True, for giving a preview to what's up and coming. And let's see, I should introduce myself, editor of Indivisible Vashon's, a weekly publication. For your consideration, I'm Kevin Jones. I do want to shout out, on Wednesday, October 21st at 7 p.m., Indivisible Vashon's monthly meeting, we will be talking about Protect the Results, which is now fairly widespread in the news. The challenges from our, I guess we still have to call him a president, to invalidate our votes. What can we do about that, and how can we take progressive action. 7 p.m. Wednesday, October 21st, we'll be getting together to talk about that. So hope you can join us.
By the way, I just did a quick look up here. I decided I would click register to vote, and all it's asking for is my first name, last name, and date of birth. So I assume that's going to look up something somewhere to verify who I am. But anyway, so it doesn't ask for any kind of ID on the website anyway. So there you go.
All right. Maybe maybe once you register, they do that check and confirmation, and then they go from there.
Of course, we're lucky to live in Washington State, one of the most progressive states in terms of voter registration, mail-in voting, you know, all of those kinds of things, you know, day of voting registration. I mean, we are very fortunate to live where we are. A lot of states have very high bars to get to vote and designed to keep people from voting.
And Lynn, you have a comment on that.
Hey, Bruce, I have a question. Bruce, what is lowest age at which you can vote in Washington? I remember that we changed it at some point from either 18 to 21 or 21 to 18, which, do you know which it is?
I believe it's 18 in Washington State, and there's a movement to drop it to 16 to correspond with driver's licenses. It varies, again.
I'm just saying that for all the high school graduates that are listening in.
Right, yeah.
Please register. Please vote.
And you can pre-register, I believe, as early as 16 in the state of Washington. So jump right in.
Yep.
Hey, just wanted to do a quick survey of kind of the news highlights from the Brown Briefly over the last month or so. There's a few things that should be mentioned. One is Puget Sound Energy, our dearly beloved power company, is planning to sell off one of their coal plants in Montana. And despite the governor's and legislators' desire to have those closed down, fortunately, we can do a shout out to all three of our legislators, led by Representative Fitzgibbon, who sent a letter to the Utilities and Transportation Commission saying, no, we really want to shut that down. And Dow Constantine has jumped on board, and literally hundreds of people across our state are asking for our power company now to abandon coal and go to renewable energy. So that's one another of the trifecta here of news. It appears the wind has left the sails of the long anticipated Durham report, purported to contain damaging info about the Obama administration spying on the Trump campaign and touted as something that would be released prior to the election. You will recall that we discussed last month that career federal prosecutor Nora Danahy resigned from the investigation. So now perhaps that Durham report isn't going to be coming out, and maybe justice can prevail, and standing up for justice has merit. And the last point I'll make, and then we'll have some comments, just in case you've lost track of the Michael Flynn case, you know, the guy who served as our national security advisor for all of 22 days, that case is still on, although Flynn is now accusing Judge Sullivan of being hostile and suggesting he recuse himself from the case. You know, I thought throwing the book at someone was still okay, but any comments about any of those news highlights?
Hey, one news highlight that you didn't include, Kevin, I was wondering about, what's happened with the natural gas plant that or storage down in the flats, the Tacoma flats? What's going on there?
In Tacoma. There is a lawsuit going on. They tried to move for a stay to stop the work, and unfortunately that failed. So now we're into the lawsuit, and I don't recall the dates, but I think it's going to be certainly next year, maybe late next year before they actually go to court on that.
So are they building then right now?
It's proceeding apace is my understanding, yes. So, okay, well, my last comment on that news blast is, Lynn, did you have a comment?
Well, I was just going to say, related to the Flynn case, it just cracks me up. He's taking a play right out of the Trumpian playbook and saying, which Trump actually said baldly, that he was against some previous egregious reportage because it made him look bad. Well, wham. That's all I have to say. I have to say that to Flynn as well. Wham.
Good on you. You know, I was thinking that if one was a national security advisor for 22 days, would you want to put that on your resume, or maybe would you just like skip over that part?
Skip over it. Lynn, your remark there, we went in the job shack there, somebody would start complaining about, oh, geez, you know, the weather, or, oh, geez, this, or, oh, geez, that, or whatever. And inevitably someone would say, what's that? What's that I hear? It's the Wambulance. which is what Mr.
The other good one that I've heard recently is, do you want some wine? I mean, do you want some crackers cheese to go with that wine?
Yeah.
Cheese to go with that wine.
I'm so good to hear sound effects from Mr. Shook. Fantastic. Hey, now for the news we're all waiting for. What is going on in Michigan? 13 accused of plotting to kidnap the governor from her vacation home. This is the same state whose state legislator was visited by long gun toting Michiganders. And shortly after or during where the president tweeted, "Liberate Michigan." So, you know, some say our American democracy is already slid into the ditch here. What do we think? What's up? Michigan.
Well, my response is Mark Twain's, you know, the news of my demise is greatly exaggerated. You know, American democracy is being tested in Maine now, but it's not in the grave or nowhere near the grave. You know, I mean, we have a flawed Republican system, not big R, but small R Republican system. You know, there's certainly things that the founders put into the Constitution and didn't put into the Constitution that need to be addressed. But essentially, we've got a very strong, robust system. It can be manipulated, and we're seeing that right now with the manipulation of the sort of balance of power between the three branches of government. But essentially, that will rebalance itself in time. And so, it's a time of danger, but it's not a time to sort of start shoveling the dirt over the coffin yet.
I like that, Bruce. That's good. Shoveling the dirt over the coffin. Not time yet.
Not yet.
All right. And it's Lynn. What are your thoughts?
Me, there's a kind of a critical juncture, I think, that we're at. I don't think democracy is dead. I think it is being tested heavily for sure. But mostly, I think what I think is that we have a critical decision to make in this country about, are we going to continue to go down the nationalist, exclusionary, America first and America only march that Trump has started us on? Or are we going to go back to Western kind of liberalism, which is the rule of law and the rights of individuals to be treated equally under the law, and the kind of, interactive leadership position we have had within the world for holding those values really high? And, there are a lot of books being written right now about how many people do not feel served by the way we have done globalization in particular, and how liberalism even got, taken for granted. I was just reading in the New York Times book review section. There was an article called Lost in America reviewing a book that basically was talking about we've gone through a period of such long prosperity that it kind of turned into decadence, and we quit looking at civics, and we quit looking at commonwealth and joint responsibilities to each other. And this is for sure bringing us back to those questions.
You know, I was intrigued. I was looking just to see what might be updates today, and I noticed that of the white men who are accused here, and all of them are white men, they also all range about mid-30s in age. And so, you know, I think there's always this hope that the younger generation will kind of move beyond, some of the challenges that our generation has faced. But the other thing is that, the article went into the fact that our society has moved into an amazing knowledge society now, right? Just one of the local advertisements for car repair insurance says you used to be able to repair your car with a screwdriver. Now it takes a degree, from a university. We've really set a huge divide here. So is that behind what's going on in Michigan? And what does that portend for the future?
Well,
you had a comment.
Well, yeah, I just was reading just to kind of see if I could get a news update. And Governor Whitmer said, just last week, the president of the United States stood before the American people and refused to condemn white supremacists and hate groups like these two Michigan militia groups. Stand back and stand by, he told them. Stand back and stand by. Hate groups heard the president's word not as a rebuke, but as a rallying cry, as a call to action. When our leaders speak, their words matter. They carry weight. Now, in response, the White House press secretary, Barbie Cayley, that's not her name, said Whitmer is sowing division. Whitmer is. President Trump has continually condemned white supremacists and all forms of hate, McCainy said in a statement to CNN. Governor Whitmer is sowing division by making these outlandish allegations, quoting the president again. America stands united against hate and in support of our federal law enforcement who stopped this plot. There you go.
Well, Lynn, is the entire administration now projecting? Is that what we're hearing here?
Sounds like it.
Yes. It's more than projecting. I think they're just, you know, turning a mirror back on us, and anything we say, they say against us. It's like the schoolyard. Yeah, I am, but what are you? That's what it reminds me of, an 8-year-old's defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Gail, enlighten us, please.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I mean, one of my largest concerns is that Trump's playbook is being used now by all kinds of people. They've picked it up as the new norm, including when you mentioned that the people responsible for the kidnapping attempt were all young in their 30s. It's emboldening that right sort of wing militia thinking and making it all right. And Trump's playbook, you know, even like you were mentioning Michael Flynn, you know, with his complaining because something had been, you know, was too hard on him. It rolls back around to the president's Trump's sort of inability to, or ability to kind of throw all responsibility off of him and put it on his opponents. And usually is by turning it 180 degrees.
Election.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not Trump's playbook. You know, it's a playbook that goes back to Goebbels and Hitler and to the Bolsheviks.
There you go.
It's an authoritarian playbook. It's not Trump's playbook. It's any kind of authoritarian sort of person trying to take over a
And Michael, you had some comments.
So it's an old playbook.
Bruce, that's I listening to this, I was thinking back to the 20s and 30s in this country. There's I can't remember where I read the article, but there was a huge rally in New York City with thousands of brown-shirted Nazi supporters. I mean, thousands and thousands of them got a permit to march in New York. And that was in the mid-1930s.
30s, right.
And no less a personage than Charles Lindbergh was vehemently nationalist. If he'd had his way, hordes of people would have been barred from the country. He thought Hitler was actually a pretty good guy. He was trying to bring order to things. So it's a really old playbook. And for me, I think it's important. I try to remind myself that these are the folks who get in the news. This is 13 bozos who, you know, they're dangerous as hell. We learned that from Timothy McVeigh. But the overwhelming bulk of Americans want what people everywhere want and what we've had for so many years, which is a chance to earn a living, a chance to raise their families, and a chance to you know, live a life and have a little vacation once in a while to enjoy it. And they're hardly radical. And I don't think we need to worry too much about it. We need to do something to address it. And we are. The pendulum is swinging, I think. That's my thoughts.
Yes. Gail, you had some comments, I thought.
I just wanted to clarify that I think what's dangerous about Trump is he's brought these ideas and tactics into the present day, and it's being picked up by present day players. When you get a chance, Bruce, would you talk a little bit more about the presidents of the past and the highlights of that talk that you told us about earlier in the week?
Yeah, well, I mean, Woodrow Wilson, you know, a progressive, you know, looked at a supporter of the League of Nations. He ran in 1916 on an America First program. That was his major campaign. He kept us out of war. He's back then, they inaugurated presidents in March rather than in January. So in March 1918, he's 1917, he's inaugurated. The next month, he takes us into World War One. You know, and so it's you know, and you know, there was the Charles Lindbergh that Michael referred to. Charles Lindbergh, you know, very strong sort of America First movement in the 1930s. Keep out of World War II. Support the Nazis. You know, there's been that strain in American politics going back to the very beginning. I mean, the essential split between the early Washington Adams Party and the Jefferson Party, the first sort of political parties to emerge in the United States, were partly that sort of debate over America First versus America part of the world. So it's a very deeply embedded in who we are as a nation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the maybe is that a segue to how we're dealing with our current president right now? Is it political theater that Speaker Pelosi and Congressman Raskin have now reintroduced legislation to form something called the Oversight Commission on Presidential Capacity? And basically, it says that Congress currently has the authority to activate this Oversight Commission to determine whether the president is mentally or physically unable to discharge the powers and duties of office. And while plenty of comments are that this isn't really anything to do with President Trump's current comments, we're just preparing for the future. What do we think? There's two Washington Congress people have signed on. I'll let you guess which ones, but where do we think this is heading, and how important is it, Truman?
I tell you what I'm hearing on Facebook is that all my stalwart right wing guys are saying, "Oh, they're doing this for Biden. That's the only reason they're doing this, so that as soon as Biden gets inaugurated, they can do the 25th and put Kamala in." That's what the right wing is saying today.
Awesome. That's for the future.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, wow. There you go. Should we recognize Susan McCabe, who's in now the Gene Bosch studio? Hello, Susan. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm here.
All right. Hey, that counts. Lynn, you had a comment.
Yeah, I have kind of a question comment. Isn't it true that right now, a disabled president, if he can, must sign over to the vice president his authority to govern at some point in that 25th Amendment. It's a little bit vague about kind of how a disabled president is supposed to ably do that. And so to me, it makes some sense to have some congressional oversight of it, if that part is true. Does anybody know more about the way that 25th Amendment sort of is worded? To me, it looked very kind of vague.
Are we saying it's voluntary on the part of a president, or doesn't anybody, I mean, I know he's a stable genius, but doesn't anybody have anything to say besides the disabled president, Bruce?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's
two Bruce.
Yeah. I mean, there's two aspects to it, as I recall. It's been a while since I've looked at it, but one is the president can voluntarily sort of step aside, like George Bush did when he went under, and I think Ronald Reagan did when he was under. Now, it was before Reagan, after Reagan. I can't remember which other president, but we've had two presidents that have given up that authority temporarily when they were hospitalized. But the second part is that there, you know, the president can be declared, and that's what I'm not positive of who does that declaration. And I think that's what the Pelosi thing is designed to do, is to have a commission that would declare the president disabled.
Yeah, well, I think that's the whole reason for this, Bruce, if I read this correctly. It says here that in Article 2, Section 1 of the Clause 6 of the Constitution says that in the case of removal of the president from office or his death, resignation, or inability to discharge the powers and duties of said office, yada, yada, yada. What it says down here is the clause is not very specific. It did not say who had the power to say that the president was unable to do his job, whether the VP was actually become president during the takeover or just acting president, who would take the vice president's job if he died. So all of these things are not answered. And how or who in Congress should decide who should take over if neither the president nor the vice president could do the president's job. So those are all things that were still up in the air. And I think that's what they're talking about trying to
solidify. Yeah, Lynn, what are your thoughts?
Solidify.
Well, I'm just going to add to what Truman's saying, because currently if you or I were to be deemed incompetent to run your own affairs, it would start with two doctors saying that I could no longer understand the choices that I'm making. Two, a sign that you're mentally unable to do that. And then there's often a guardianship or a conservatorship court process available if those comments are contested. So, you know, at this point, I think Trump has breached his doctor's security. So to me, it makes sense to have, you know, somebody else in the middle of this that has a big stake in it, which Congress does. And if it's overreach of our power because we can do it in the House, then meh.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, what should we do?
My thought is it's probably a precautionary measure just to kind of keep an eye on. I know from a buddy who got steroid shots a couple of times for his back pain. I said to him, "Man, Jimmy, you're kind of the charts here this week. What the hell's going on?" Right. And he said, "Man, it's his steroids. I mean, he was higher than a kite. I had to caution him a few times about, you know, let's continue to work safely." Yeah. It just put him around the bend. And I think some of Trump's more, how do you say, more outlandish statements, that's kind of, I don't even know if you can say that about him, but
that word came to mind.
Yeah. Arrest Biden, arrest Obama, arrest Pelosi. You know, he's just, it sounded like the Queen of Hearts or something, off with their heads.
They call it roid rage.
Roid rage.
It's interesting when you look at the fourth article of the 25th Amendment, it says, whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments, which means the cabinet, or such other body as Congress may by law provide, that's what Pelosi's trying to do, transmit to the president pro tem of the Senate and the speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the acting president. So it provides for the vice president and the cabinet or another body designated by Congress. And that's why Pelosi is putting that into action right now.
So Pelosi is going beyond the Congress or the cabinet?
It occurs to me, what a fantastic thing this is. As vague as that is, and as much room as there is for wiggle room, I mean, think about it. These things were how many governments have there been throughout history where you had no chance of removing somebody who was obviously off his rocker because he was the king or she was the queen or the dictator supreme. And you just had to try to find a way to keep your head literally as well as figuratively. So I guess I'm kind of saying that's a pretty cool thing that that's been written into our Constitution. We ought to be pretty pleased with that.
Well, it is. I think folks in the studio had some comments.
Yeah, well, here's just a quick thing. I was reading about the 25th Amendment and where this really came to light, I mean, where it really hit Congress in the face was in November of 63 when Kennedy was assassinated. It says it became very clear to Congress that they needed to figure out a solution about presidential succession right away. And the reason was because, of course, we're in the middle of the Cold War. Lyndon Johnson had previously had a heart attack in 1955, and he had a family history of the Johnson men dying relatively young, like in their 60s, which he did, by the way, at age 64. And the next two people in line for the presidency were the Speaker of the House, which is John McCormick. He was 71. And the president pro tem of the Senate was Carl Hayden, and he was 86. So the Congress went, oh, my God, what have we done here? But we kind of have the same situation now, you know?
Yeah, and my understanding is that this does, the legislation that Raskin introduced would indeed form that kind of a commission, and the vice president would be part of it. But then the checks and balances would come from Congress, right? So that the VP couldn't, like, stage a coup.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing to put all the countervailing forces together to come up with a good system.
So I'm a little confused. Where does the cabinet...
Congress.
I think Susan had a comment or a question.
Where does the cabinet fit in at this point, then?
Well, I think the cabinet could also instigate the question, if I understand right. Bruce, was that your understanding?
Yeah, it says whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments, that's the cabinet, or of such other body as Congress may provide. So right now, you know, because Congress has not provided another body, you know, it would be the vice president and what they call the majority of either principal officers of the executive departments, that's the cabinet. So right now, the vice president and cabinet are the only ones that can declare the president incapable. If this Raskin legislation goes through, then Congress would be able to have a say as well.
Okay, I don't see them lining up to say that, but Lynn, what do you think?
Well, I guess what I wanted to ask was, when they say Congress, does that mean the Senate? Does it mean the House? Does it mean both parties? What does it mean?
It says Congress by law, so it would have to become legislation, so it would have to pass both the House and the Senate.
So both.
And I think Raskin's proposal is that you have 8 members from each party selected, and they then select a 17th member to lead the coalition, or the, whatever you call this thing that is now assembled. And the vice president would have a role as well. Truman, you had a comment.
Yeah, I'm just looking at more of this section 4 that you were quoting, Bruce. It says that this section is the only part of this, of the 25th Amendment, that's never been used. That's where they say, they declare him, and it is the vice president and the cabinet that makes that decision. But the VP has got to be on board, because, I mean, just the cabinet can't do it.
Well, that ain't going
to
happen.
So the Trump administration only has like 3 or 4 months to set another first, right?
That's right.
I mean, we've already had an impeachment before this. I mean, there's so many firsts.
Right. So it's all fantastic.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, you know, buckle your seatbelts for after the election, because I think that he is going to be unleashed for between the time. I do believe that he will not be reelected. However, I think that what happens between the November 3rd and January 18th, could anything goes. I think there will be no restraints on him whatsoever, because there will be nothing, he will have nothing left to lose. And I think that this is going to be a very dangerous time. And I suspect that all this talking about packing the court that the Republicans are throwing out there as bait that the Democrats plan to do, I would not be surprised to see this go down in those in between months.
So here's
just to reassure our listener, it happens that there is now a Washington Protect the Results task force focusing exactly on those issues, Gail. And what are the issues that we may face pre-election, like the amazingly creative California GOP party putting out fake ballot boxes. Oh, you can drop your ballots in. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But also the things that happen after the election, not only the legal maneuvers, but also you know, all of the hijinks that could occur. So, and the whole nation is now pivoting, I believe, to really focus on that. So I'm very encouraged. Truman, you had a comment.
You know, this is just a bit of his history that I thought was fascinating. That one of the times when the Section 4 was considered was when Reagan was shot by Hinckley. He had to go into surgery immediately, so he was unable to do Section 3, where the president says, okay, the VP's got to step in. And the vice president, who was George H.W. Bush, couldn't do it because he was on an airplane coming back from Texas. And by the time he got back, Reagan was out of surgery, and so they didn't have to do it. But anyway, that was a close call.
Didn't that, if I recall, that yielded the famous Al Haig quote, "I'm in charge now."
Yes, right. That's right.
Yeah. It's interesting just how this is playing out with this. I thought, well, I'm going to fasten my seatbelt. I'm going to buckle my shoulder harness and put my helmet on. Oh my goodness.
Just don't load your shotgun, please.
All right. So, hey, I know, Lynn, you had some comments about Lepore and Vosavant. I don't know if there's time left for you to indulge us with your thoughts or if that's a poor segue, but what do you think? Is that a good time for that?
Well, let me try to wrap together something I was just going to say, mainly about the Georgia voters standing in line for 4 hours to vote.
Some for 10.
That heartens me enormously. You know, they have started to vote. They are voting, and they're out in force, and voting numbers are way up as far as, you know, is being recorded and transmitted. So that really heartens me. Earlier when I was talking about nationalism and liberalism, I was quoting Jill Lepore, who is a Yale historian, who says that we have to remember there's a difference between nationalism and liberalism. And we have to remember that there's a difference between patriotism and nationalism. If patriotism is love of country, nationalism is love of only our country and at the exclusion of others. And so I found that very simplistic and helpful. What I also found simple was a note from Marilyn Vosavant, who's the Numbrix, you know, the kind of bright person in Parade magazine, who was asked if she could make an argument in favor of electoral votes. And she said, well, our original states were 13 separate colonies. It's understandably unacceptable to states with smaller populations to have their affairs decided by other states simply because more people live there. If there were united countries of Earth, would we want China and India running the show, or would we want a leveling factor? Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting because it was the only argument I've ever understood about why should we keep the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I agree with it, but I understand it. So this is Crash Course in Civics, everybody. Turn out and vote.
I think that We don't really identify first, though, any longer with the state that we come from. I mean, we are called the United States for a reason. They were considered separate little countries banding together, not unlike the European Union. However, we've evolved past that to see ourselves more as American citizens than as members of a state. So I think that we our thinking has changed, and hence I think also that's a structural problem with our representative democracy.
But at the same time, if you look at some of the smaller populations in the middle of the country, you know, that's what they're saying. They're saying, hey, you know, don't forget us. So, hey, folks, we are just about out of time.
That's right.
And stay tuned for the Real Talk with Susan McCabe. She'll be on momentarily.
Well, not till noon.
Well, yeah.